Hi, and welcome to Detox, Talks the Detox, a podcast where we talk to some of the world's finest leaders about their detox rituals and how they maintain continuity in a world of noise and chaos. How they make sure that the criticism that the world puts on them doesn't affect their insight and they still continue to perform as well as they do. Thanks for tuning in. This is Kunal Sundaramani, and you are listening to Detox, Talks the Detox.
We have Kathy Davies on the podcast. Kathy is one of the most incredible people I've met. She is the managing director of the Design Your Life Labs at Stanford and doing some of the most incredible work out there. Thank you so much for taking out the time. It's an absolute honor to have you on.
Well, thank you for having me. This is lovely.
So Kathy, you're at one of the most unique places doing so much amazing stuff. What's the journey getting there been? Like, what's your life journey been like?
Windy. So I'm a trained biomechanical engineer and did the majority of my career actually in mechanical engineering consulting after getting a master's in product design. And so really spent a lot of time building goods and services. And it wasn't until about 10 years ago that I joined Stanford teaching product design classes and then got involved with this idea of how to use design thinking to develop life and career. And that's the Stanford Product Design or Stanford Life Design Lab, which I now run with a group of amazing colleagues, talking to students about how they might use design principles to design the time at Stanford and the time after Stanford, what they might want to do as they go forward. And then we're also now working with educators globally. So the Life Design Lab runs a training for higher ed educators to learn about what we do, take all of our materials, and then to deploy with their students at their institutions, community colleges, colleges, and so on. And it's just been a great privilege to work with the global community. So very much a windy path from engineering now into teaching and really thinking about personal development.
I love the word winding. What were some of the most memorable winds?
I talked about it actually yesterday in a class that I'm teaching with some work, some colleagues in career ed. My first job when I was, 16, was at the Lawrence Livermore National Lab. I was running electrophoresis gels. My second job when I was a freshman in college was as an intern at Pacific Gas and Electric. My third job was censusing small rodents in New Mexico on National Wildlife Refuge. My fourth job was working in a research lab doing biomedical research at Brown. And then my fifth job was working as a counselor for an outdoor ed program. So a whole bunch of different things in my early career, then taught high school physics, and then worked in a series of startups and consultancies, and also was working in software. So a software product manager. So I've done a lot of different random things, but I think the most unusual is probably the trapping and censusing of small rodents.
Tell me more about the rodents. What was the first day feeling?
The first day feeling. Well, I mean, I was 18, living with a bunch of other students on the National Wildlife Refuge. We would get up very, very early in the morning and lay out or go and pick up these things that were called Sherman traps. They're basically metal boxes, and see what we'd caught over the night. Measure them, weigh them, check what species of animals we had caught. We caught all kinds of different things, from kangaroo rats to snakes to lizards to other different species of small rodents and mammals. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. The first day was really just learning about the traps and how to set them out on these, we called them webs. They're basically places where they were collecting data over a larger period of time.
So many vines. I think one of the things that comes with wines in life, unlike like wines on the road, is the element of change, the last day feeling, the first day feeling. And I think those are still okay. The moment between the last day and the first day, when you're stepping out of known territory into unknown territory, like what's the self-talk that you go through, like when you're in that change, like going from known to unknown?
It's funny. I actually don't think about it as much as you might expect, given how windy my career path has been. The way I think about it is I'm like a magpie. What I notice is something shiny or interesting, and then I start doing it or start talking to people about it or just dive in. You and I were talking before we started recording a little bit about just this idea of not realizing that you shouldn't do a thing or having no doubt. And in many cases, I end up in the middle of something before I realize it. And so I don't think there's a lot of self-talk that's happening as it starts. It's probably once I'm there and I'm really wanting to perform well, that sometimes I'll have that feeling of being an imposter or that feeling of, ooh, am I doing this well enough? But when it, the first day feeling is almost always, ooh, this is so cool. And it's quite joyful, actually.
What about the last day feeling when you're going into unknown territory, but you're leaving known territory?
Almost a little bit of sadness, I think. I almost never do things that I don't like, surprisingly. I really have enjoyed all the things that I've done. When they wrap up, it's almost always because I'm excited to start something new. And so it's a little bit of the pain of letting go, right? The, oh, wow, that was really fun. And it's coming to a close. But it's almost never a feeling of regret, per se, as much as it is excitement for the next thing. So I think I tend to be quite optimistic and quite appreciative of the experiences that I've had. So I'm looking towards the unknown, but I'm looking towards the unknown with just appreciation and love for the thing that I've just completed or that is ending. And often I stay in touch with the people, you know, the people are kind of what make it for me. And I've had the great good fortune of remaining in touch over time with people through various parts of my life. So it's never really over, you know, if you're still in touch with the people.
I love it. What about, like, I think some moments are more memorable than others, but then there are some that just break the scale. They're the flashback moments when you come in a new situations. Like, what were some of those moments for you?
I mean, I've had so many really wonderful experiences. But I think if I were to think about just advice that people have given me that I maybe didn't even appreciate at the time, but now I look back and I think, oh, that was a real nugget of wisdom. I had a boss who I actually had a fair amount of conflict with. But one of the things he said to me, he said, hey, you don't have all of the information. You know, when I go into my boss's office, I do the things that my boss asks me to do because I know that they have information that I don't have and that they're setting strategy. And, you know, I'd love it if you gave me that same benefit of the doubt. You know, I think I still fought with him on the things because I just was certain that I knew what was what. And what I didn't know was that he was in the process of negotiating a merger of our company with another company. There was actually quite a lot of subtext there, but I was early enough in my career that I didn't really pick it up. But I look back on that moment and realize how true that is about things that are happening in business, things that are happening in life. We often don't have all the information. And so we look at the picture sort of from our own perspective. And so I think I just really look back and appreciate Steve for that because it's been a guiding star for me pretty much ever since, at least once I realized, like, wow, there's a lot there. That noticing of, yeah, we don't have all the information. And so how do we be open and really listen for what people are telling us that's below the surface or that we may not be aware of because we're so focused on ourselves?
And that's not a good feeling, knowing that you do not have the information. How do you deal with that feeling, like, now that you're more comfortable with it, the feeling of not knowing?
Oh, I hate it. I mean, then I just ask a lot of questions and I'm also very opinionated, right? So yeah. So I like to think I have all the information or I like to think that I'm right. But I think it's also a moment of just really recognizing that there are things that I can't control. As much as I hate that, as much as that's quite frankly uncomfortable, it's also something that I'm working really hard to just be with, because the reality is I won't have all the information. No one will. And things happen for reasons that I will never understand, right? There are unexpected things that happen in life. And so really getting clear on what can I control and what can't I control and where should I be spending my time and energy, I think is a worthwhile quest. Yeah. How do I deal with the feelings? Well, uncomfortably. And also hopefully with some recognition. That's part of what it means to be human, at least in my experience.
Oh, absolutely. I think you said something beautiful with being human. I think it's just like that self-realization of being human, as obvious as it sounds, I think is one of the rarest.
Yeah. And a hard one too, right? Because depending on who we are and what our experiences have been thus far, you know, recognizing that we make mistakes, recognizing that things are out of our control, recognizing that things, there may be constraints that really, that we can't change. That is hard. That is
and like
hard.
Just being human comes with so many added variables and added nuances that are like hard to not think about.
Right. I mean, you mentioned earlier when we were talking about this idea of just health and mortality and what it means to recognize a variety of of just transitions in life. And, you know, I'm in that space of hitting 50, right? These are in a woman's life, there are some major transitions that happen around this time, menopause and other things. And the recognition, like, dang, things are happening inside my physical self that are changing how I feel, how things are showing up for me. That is really weird. And yet it's part of, I think, every person who has the or every woman who has the luxury of living this long of their experience. But we don't talk about those things often. We don't talk about these transitions. We don't talk about just the biological aspects of change in addition to beyond maybe the like, dang, it stinks getting old, or, you know, you might hear people kind of complaining about various ailments, but just kind of the naturalness of it, or the way that life unfolds, whether we like it or not.
It's being human.
Yeah, being human, right? In all the things, in all the mental and physical aspects.
Absolutely. It's hard to overstate how hard that feeling is to get used to and how natural it should be, but it isn't.
For you to say that at 19, I feel like there are so many transitions ahead of you and so many wonderful things and so many unexpected things and so many surprises that come with all of that. It's all in there if we're lucky enough to live that long, right?
Absolutely. Carpe diem. Furthermore, like, I think there's some like moments in life that are very detrimental. Like, I talk about them as it's all messed up. It's over moments, like moments in life where we really, where there's just too much fog. Like you really can't see further. Like, your visibility is low. But not only is your visibility low, whatever you can see, it's like, it's all over. It's all messed up. What are those moments for you?
Where it's all messed up and you can't see further.
Like, the only thing you can say is it's all gone. It's all messed up.
I've had those low moments throughout my life. And I would say it's almost always when I'm in conflict with, you know, a friend, or in my early going, right? There'd be, you know, relationships I'd have. And, you know, it's you're going through the breakup. You're going through the sort of the dark time of like, I thought this was going to be it. and now it's all messed up. So certainly a lot of those. I'd say professionally, there have been moments where I've really struggled. And I think it's often in moments where I get really overcommitted to a particular idea. And then again, get into conflict with those around me, right? I've got an idea or a vision of how I want it to go, and then have steamrolled my way into a space where now I'm in conflict with other people that I'm working with. And I'm really not happy with just how that feels, because working in collaboration with others is probably one of the highest highs, and really being in deep and unproductive conflict with others because of, especially when I was younger, sort of social mismanagement, just not recognizing again that I didn't have the information, or not modulating because I was so convinced I was right that I didn't really give people enough space for them to be right as well. And so I think there have been some low moments there where it's just been, yeah, deep conflict, almost always out of I feel like for many of us, some of our greatest strengths are our greatest weaknesses. And one of my greatest strengths is I commit, like I can be all in. And that can be a great weakness as well, right? And get me into those, it's all messed up moments, because I'm so all in that I lack perspective. And so then suddenly we find ourselves in this space of, wow, it feels like there's no way out of this situation because the interpersonal dynamics are really challenging. Yeah, I've had any number of those. Luckily, I'm again, really fortunate to work with really sharp people. I think throughout my career, that's been a big theme. And so usually somebody's be able to smack me upside the head and say like, hey, you need to quit that. And then sooner or later I come around. But yeah, those have been some of the hardest times. Certainly the romantic, oh my goodnesses, and then the professional, like I dug a hole and now I got to get out.
Mentally, how do you deal with them?
Oh, cry a lot, rage against the machine, you know, rant to friends and family. And then hopefully, I think maybe I get through that part more quickly as I've aged, and then get to the like, okay, it takes two to tango. Like, what do I do now to make this better? How do I look at my own? I can't change someone else's behavior. So how do I look at my own and try to show up in a way that I can feel as an integrity with the kind of person I want to be, and hopefully have the kind of impact that I want to have? You know, my intentions, I like to think my intentions are usually good. My impact is not always good. And so then noticing, okay, let's realign so that the intention, which is good, is now better aligned with the impacts that I actually want to have, rather than the ones that I'm having through all manner of lovely foibles that I have.
Like, if you had to deal with one of them again, like with now with more mental composure that like that you have today, how would you deal with them differently? Like, if you had to deal with them all over again?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if at that same age and stage, if I could deal with it differently, because I was doing the best that I could. I kind of look at a lot of these things through the lens of, there's this wonderful talk that Dr. Afia Formensa, who is currently on staff at Princeton, gave. And I think it was at the commencement of Oberlin, but she talks about the cycle of non-regret. And one of the things that she talks about is, you know, you do the best with it you can with the data that you have at the time, and then try to not judge your past self. They were doing the best they could. But I think that if I were to be able to give my younger self advice, I would say, in some cases, slow down, just take a breath. Notice, is this something you really need to go to the mat for? Or are you damaging the relationships that you have by charging ahead in this way? Is this, you know, what is the perspective you can take on it? Because when you're really close to those, hey, this is all messed up moments, when you're right in it, you just can't see the larger picture, right? It's just right on you. And the emotion is swamping your body. You know, I'm a big crier. So like, you know, this wave of emotion comes up, and suddenly you're just kind of in this place where you really have to kind of let that stress and emotion out, so that you can breathe again, and then take a look around, and hopefully, you know, hopefully you have folks around you who can give you a hand, and hopefully you have this time and space to gather yourself and then look around and say, okay, now what am I going to do about all this? But I don't think if I had told my younger self any of this, my younger self would have nodded and smiled and then continued on doing exactly what she had planned. Convinced she was right.
That's I mean, that's the beauty of like growing. Like, but if you had to deal with it today, a similar situation today, like step by step, what's your self-talk? How do your mind work?
Yeah, my self-talk is often, okay, what's happening right now? What's happening in my own body? What's happening with this other person? How can we slow this interaction down? Sometimes that means I need to take a break, right? I need to pause the discussion so that I can really think it through and make sure that I say things the way that I want to say them. Other times it's, you know, it just unfolds and to deal with the consequences. But I do think that a lot of it for me, and one of the things I'm really working on, is how do you take a second to really ask yourself what's happening right here? If it's starting to devolve into a disagreement, or if emotions are starting to run high, usually that means that there's some subtext, right? Often, it's not often that I'm arguing about World War III. You know, the things that we're working on are important things, of course. But, you know, how we design this curricular module is a small thing in the face of all the things that humans face. So, you know, so why is it feeling so hot? And what are we really talking about? And so, yeah, taking a step back. Also checking understanding. My colleague and I were talking the other day, and we had a realization that we'd been having a conversation, or had a conversation in the past, where a bunch of things had been misinterpreted. And she said something super wise. This is my colleague, Irmela. She's the genius. And she said, yeah, you know, one of the things that might be helpful is if we just stop and say, like, hey, what I'm hearing you say is X. Is that right? And I think that's so smart, right? So the self-talk might be, hey, stop and make sure that what you're picking up is actually what they're laying down. Yeah.
That's very well said. Like, no, that makes sense. Like, if a brand new fire came up today, it's beautiful how like how your perspective to deal with fires changes so much at different stages and with different knowledge and different like knowing the same things, you take different actions with different mindsets and different, knowing different things. It's beautiful.
Well, and do you need to be right? Right? I think there's this funny there, or is there a right answer? I think is another really interesting question. When I was younger, I went to the mat for everything, convinced I was right. And also convinced that there was one way to be right, which is, you know, which of course is not true in many situations. There are many, many, many ways to solve problems. And often there are lots of good ways. The definition of best is in and of itself just unimportant, right? We need to get to a good enough solution and then move on. I think sometimes we lose sight of that, and we just are in the fight to win. That doesn't serve us very well, especially in human relationships, right? There's this idea that I'm going to beat you and I'm going to be the winner and you're going to be the loser. That doesn't leave us in a very good relationship space. That doesn't leave us in a way that we can then collaborate on the next big problem. And so how do we collaborate respectfully, have generative conflict, right? I'm not saying that everybody needs to agree all the time. In fact, I would think that'd be quite boring. How do we work through things together or agree to disagree in ways that leaves everybody whole?
I love that, leaves everybody whole. Unfortunately, that's not something I think, don't think we even think about. Leaves everybody whole. That is so beautifully said. Moving to the final part, the rapid fire round. Couple quick questions, answer them in the least possible time.
All right, I'm ready.
Apples or oranges?
Apples.
Apple or Android?
Apple.
Mac or Windows?
Mac.
Generalized piece of wisdom you think everyone should know?
Listen.
I love it. Your favorite movie?
The Princess Bride.
Your favorite music?
I've been married to someone who's a heavy metal guy, and so I've come to appreciate Metallica, strangely.
One piece of advice that is bounced around a lot, but isn't true at all, but people just say it.
Weirdly, I'm going to say it is what it is.
One piece of advice that isn't given very often, but should be.
Yeah, don't act.
One book that changed your life?
A book called Next Level. It's about training through menopause.
One final piece of parting advice that you'd really believe in?
You know, we don't always have all the information, so ask better questions.
Thank you so, so much for taking out the time. This was an honor to have you on the podcast.
Thank you.
You just heard an episode on the Detox Podcast. Do not forget to subscribe on your favorite streaming platform, whether it is Spotify or iTunes. We are there.